It's all your prayers today that the Lord would bless us as we look into the Word. This is a message entitled Generation Me that has been on my heart for a number of weeks. The Lord had given to me a number of weeks ago and just didn't give me the time or the leadings to preach it. I feel like the Lord has shared it this morning. I'd like to begin over in the 10th chapter of Luke. We'll begin with a very familiar passage. Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 27. He answering, a lawyer came to Jesus, verse 25, and he tempted Jesus and he said, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus answered and said, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And so the man gave the answer. This is what the scripture says. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And he answered him, thou hast answered right. This do and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Now keep in mind, this man knew what the law said. And he was the one that gave Jesus the answer. He said, the law says, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. And secondly, which is likened to it, Jesus told us in another passage, he said, love your neighbor as yourself. Something in there brought condemnation on that man. And so the first thing that he did was, willing to justify himself, he started to clarify and said, but who's my neighbor? Have you noticed that when people hear the truth, it can either be in service, you can talk to them, they can read the Bible. It seems like invariably when someone's heart is not where it ought to be, they try to justify themselves. Have you ever noticed that? And they will try to find some way around just acknowledging that, yes, I've got a problem in my life. But they would rather get into the specifics of it in an attempt to try to justify themselves. We live in a world of self-justification. And it would behoove us this morning to acknowledge we're not going to make it to heaven by justifying ourselves. I want God to justify my life. I want to be justified by the Lord. And I want truth when it reveals things in me that are substandard to the Word of God. Lord, help me not to try to justify myself in it, but Lord, raise me up. Help me to change my life that I could do what the Word of God teaches me to do. But in an attempt to justify himself, he said, well, who's my neighbor? In other words, that man probably wasn't loving his neighbor as himself. Now, can we be personal this morning? Because this is where we live, isn't it? I'm not going to talk in generalities now. How have you been doing with your neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Well, Brother Michael, it depends on who you're talking about. That's exactly what this man did. Because he knew he wasn't loving his neighbor just like he loved himself. Where's your property line? I trust no one's having any property line issues here this morning. But I'm just thinking about property line. Love your neighbor as yourself. I want my neighbor to put the fence right on the line. I don't want him encroaching on my property. You know, I want it on the line. Well, who's my neighbor? Anybody that I have contact with, that's my neighbor. So who do you have the most contact with? Who do you have the most contact with? Your family, your husband, your wife, your children, your parents. Have I been loving them like I want to be loved? Have I been loving them like myself? Everybody you have contact with is your neighbor this morning. And you know the story. We're not going to take the time to read it. Jesus began to expound upon who your neighbor is by telling the story of what we term the Good Samaritan. And he told the story about the man that the Jew was walking down the road and he was beaten. He was robbed of all that he had and he lied there maybe getting close to death because he was bleeding, he was messed up. You know, it wasn't a pleasant situation. You know, it's one thing to go put a little Band-Aid on someone, and it's something else. I remember in Kenya, Michael Gillenbeck was with me, and there was a boy there that had a boil. It wasn't a pleasant situation, and Michael was willing to try to be a nurse to that boy. And it, you know, when you deal with a boil, you're talking about blood and corruption and discomfort. You're dealing with HIV over there in the orphanage. You're dealing with problems, and he was willing to get in there and get his hands dirty, so to speak, to help this young boy out. Do you know this morning, the Samaritan, or the Jew rather, had been robbed and wounded, and he needed someone to say, I'm willing to enter into your pain and suffering, and I want to help you. But yet, remember who walked by? The Levites walked by. The Levite were the ones that worked in the temple. These were the holy people. And another one that walked by was the priest. That should have been the one. If anybody, it should have been the man of God. But they saw it, and they walked on the other side of the road. They looked at it. It's like, I don't see it. You know, have you ever hesitated to look at one of those guys on the side of the road that says, need help, God bless you? Have you ever, do you always make eye contact with them? I haven't noticed you drive down the road. What do you find yourself doing? Looking everywhere else and talking real intently with your companion. Because if you make eye contact, what does it mean? It starts bringing responsibility, doesn't it? If I don't look at them, I don't have to acknowledge the problem. And I'm not saying in some of those situations, sometimes your neighbor is someone that you need to encourage them to go get a job. So don't misunderstand me this morning. But my point is this. You've noticed sometimes you don't make eye contact. And it's because if I don't acknowledge a problem, it's like I can just ignore and act like it doesn't exist. So if I see someone that needs help, if I can just ignore it, then I'm not responsible. And so I'm going to walk on the other side of the road. The priest and the Levite, that's what they did. It's like if I just don't look at it, it's as if it's not there, and I can go on my merry way. But the Samaritan, who were the enemies of the Jews, see, it was a Jew that was beaten, a Samaritan who were considered dogs by the Jews. This man laying there, his people consider us as dogs. The Samaritan walked on, and he saw the man in need, and you know the story, he went. And he ministered to him. He bound up his wounds. He poured oil in it. He took him to an inn where he could receive care. And he paid. And he said, if it costs any more, I'm going to be back. In other words, he saw the job through to the end. That's your neighbor. Why did the priest and the Levite do what they did? It was because they were selfish. They were focused on themselves. I don't want to be inconvenienced with other people. And there, and it goes a step further. There are so many people in our world today that they really don't care who they hurt. I can act like I want to act. I can do what I want to do, but this is my life and I'm going to do what I want without regard and without concern to the effects that their actions will have on other people. That's what selfishness is, folks. That's what selfishness is. It means when we are concerned exclusively with ourselves and we consider anything that's to my advantage, that's what I'm going to do. We live in a very selfish time, folks. We live in a selfish generation. Selfishness is ugly. You want to find the epitome of ugliness, you find someone that's selfish. It's just ugly. And it starts with children saying, I'm not going to share. That's mine. That's mine. And it comes into adults. It comes into marriages. It comes into congregations. It comes on the workplace. People, they're just interested in one person. Self. Me. There is a passage of scripture in 2 Timothy. It's noteworthy. Beginning with verse 1. Scripture says, this know also, that in the last days, what? Perilous times would come. Now, the last days, this was a prophecy. In the last days, perilous, it's going to be dangerous times. And he began to give us a list of some of the things that were indicative of the dangerous times. What was the first thing on the list? For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, the list goes on. I think it's noteworthy that he said in the last days, it's going to be dangerous because this is what's going to happen. And the first thing he said is men are going to be lovers of their own selves. Folks, we are in the last days. And I have mentioned before, it seems like there's something in the air. I mean, it seems like so many people are being affected by something. And its selfishness is a large part of it. People are interested in me. They're not loving their neighbor as themselves. If I love my neighbor as myself, what does the scripture tell us as husbands to do? Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's the kind of love that a husband must have for his wife. But why don't so many men do that? Because they're selfish. They're focused on me as opposed to, and there are some that take the mentality that I'm the head of the home. Well, you are, but how are we supposed to show that leadership? Let me put you first, honey. What makes my wife happy? What's going to make her feel secure? What's going to make her feel loved? What's going to be there? What are her desires and wishes? It's not about a man being domineering and say, I'm the head of the home and I'm going to do this and that's my God-given role. No, as the head of the home, the brothers ought to be the ones to be the first one to humble their heart. The brothers ought to be the first one to say, I'm sorry. The brothers ought to be the ones to say, honey, what do you want to do? Because I'm interested. But you know what the thing about this is? When you put others first, who gets the blessing? Brethren, you want God to bless you in your home, put your wife first, and you're going to be happier because of it. I mean, isn't that true? You heard the little saying, mama's not happy. There ain't nobody happy. Do you know there's some truth to that? So make mama happy. Children, you want to have a good day and you want mom to be in a good mood? Then love her and treat her with respect and be obedient to your mother. And you say, but I didn't want to do that. If you do it, you're going to be the one to be blessed because of it. In other words, it's almost the height of ultimate selfishness is to do for other people. And it's not the motive of selfishness. But if you want to be blessed and you want to be happy and you want your life to be blessed this morning, I want to tell you how to do it. Put others first. If you're interested in being happy this morning, we live in a world that doesn't understand true happiness. They get a little pleasure of the flesh for just a few minutes. My question is, are those people really happy this morning? Hollywood glitters, does it not? They try to portray sin and drinking and infidelity, all of those things. They try to portray it as fun and good and pleasurable. Look at their lives this morning. It doesn't bring happiness. But those that are the happiest are those that have learned to love their neighbor as themselves. Those that have learned to sacrifice and put the well-being of others before themselves. This is what Jesus is talking about now. But he said, this is the last days. Perilous times will come. Men would be lovers of their own selves. And I believe this morning that if we could get a hold of that, it would take care of a whole lot of problems. But we're going to have to fight against it, folks. How many people just like to acknowledge I'm selfish? Now, there are some out there that aren't ashamed of it. They'll let you know, I don't care about anybody else. I'm interested in me. Those are miserable people. Have you ever found anybody like that that's just really happy? Have you found anybody like that that has any good, strong relationships with people? Their life's miserable, and yet they think that I'm looking out after number one. They're their own worst enemy. If we will learn to put others first, we're going to be blessed because of it. Characteristics of our world today is selfishness. It's the last days that we're living in. When we become the central and leading object of living, self. I'll do what I want. I'll go where I want. I'll say what I want. I don't care how it affects anybody else. Well, I wrote Generation Me on the board. That's the generation that we live in. We do not live in a generation of other people. We live in a Generation Me. There was an author, Dr. Gene Twenge. He wrote a book entitled, what I wrote on the board here. He wrote a book entitled Generation Me. And as you go through different decades of people, historians have had a way of trying to classify different generations and saying this was key to that generation. This was kind of the focus of that generation. We talk about the baby boomers. Well, the baby boomers, their children are what this particular author termed generation me. Those were those that were born, and I was just at the very beginning of this. I'm trying to distance myself. But it was used to describe the children that were born in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and I'm just going to say the 2000, 2010. It's been ever since, and it's getting worse. But it was used to describe this generation of people. Probably those that are 40 or under. That's about where that is. I'm right at that cutoff. Used to describe their values. Used to describe their priorities. It's about me. And it was used to describe them. They've grown up. Our generation has grown up thinking that self comes first. They've grown up thinking that I'm the most important thing, but I want to tell all of us here something this morning. If you didn't know this, I would that you can just get hold of it. The world does not revolve around you. World doesn't revolve around you. But the things that you do affect a lot of other people. And if you really want to be happy, you're going to have to look beyond me. You're going to have to look beyond yourself and what you think you want. And start giving a more consideration to the needs and the wants and the desires of people around about you. People that are selfish are flat out miserable people. They're unhappy because nothing's ever good enough. And they're always looking for something else because I'm going to do it and this is what I want. And they make other people miserable around them and hence they're miserable themselves. Well, I want to read you a little preface of this book. I'm going to quote, young people have more freedom, and this is so true. Young people have more freedom and independence than ever, but also far more depression, anxiety, cynicism, and loneliness. Isn't that true? This is the age. Young people today, they have more freedom and liberty. They have more material things. They have more than ever before. But has there ever been a generation that has seen so much suicide and loneliness and just people being cynical and unhappy? Why is that? Because it's generation me. Because their life is revolving around what I think I want. There's another sociologist that I read about. It's from Notre Dame, and he did some interviews with young people. I want to share just a summary, the crux of what he found. He said in his interviews with young people, he found that the majority of people interviewed stated that nobody has a general or natural responsibility or obligation to help other people. They said it's good if you help someone. You know, that's nice. But no one's obligated, no one has a duty to help other folks. Went on to say also that they were pressed and said, but what about disaster victims? What about people that are suffering over things they didn't cause or didn't do? Disaster, political oppression, people that are helpless, disabilities, famines, floods, tsunamis, that was the crux of his question. And the majority of them replied, no, you're not obligated to help anybody. You know, if you want to, you know, that's good, but you're under no obligation. That speaks of the society that we live in. Folks, that speaks of people's relationships. It's generation me. It's about me. There were some stereotypical characteristics of generation me that I want to share with you briefly. Rude honesty. Instead of polite candor. Isn't that the society we live in? I'll tell you what I think. In other words, I'm going to get it off my chest, so to speak. And people don't care what people think about them. Husbands, wives, and this being rude. And they'll say, well, I'm just being honest. Folks, honesty is good, but don't be rude about it. It's selfish. Well, I'm just communicating. No, you're being selfish. Because I'm just getting it off my chest as opposed to saying we've got a problem we need to deal with and we're honest about it. But there's a polite candor that we need to have. There are some people who say, well, that's just the way I am. I'm just blunt about stuff. You need to change who you are then. Your marriage is going to suffer from it. Your children are going to suffer from it. Your congregation is going to suffer. You say, well, I'm just being upfront about it. But have some politeness. Get some consideration that your words have the power to build up or the power to tear down. So then if you have some criticism, if you have something to offer because there's a problem, do it positively. Because if you don't, it's because of selfishness. The generation in which we live in, it's about me. We live in a generation, and I just shake my head at the school system. But it's about self-esteem, isn't it? We want everybody to feel good about themselves, and so we've got to give everybody an A? How ridiculous is that? Because we want them to feel good about themselves. Folks, you can feel good about yourself until reality hits. In other words, we live in a time that's saying, oh, you can be anything you want. That's not true. There are some things, even with my children, that I can see different strengths and different weaknesses like we all have. And we do our children a disservice to raise them with the mentality that you can do anything. We want to challenge the children. Don't misunderstand me. We want to encourage them. We want to know that if you apply yourself, there are many more avenues and venues of work and things you can do. But we also have limitations. So if our focus is on self-esteem, there's going to come a time that reality hits. And it's devastating when it hits. Entitlement. Sound familiar? And I'm not up here to politically either. Entitlement. It's a sign of the generation that we live in. We live in a time where, have you noticed that young people, they want to start off just like mom and dad? They want to start off with a nice hat, and if you can afford it, Lord bless you. I started out, when I got married, our home was, 120 years old? We bought it for $10,000, is that what it was? Something like that. My house payment was, $139 a month. I had that kind of payment again. It might line up a little bit more. Do you realize this morning that those kinds of things, though, parent children come out of the home and they think, I want to start off like mom and dad. I want to start off with what they have. It took mom and dad some work to get where they are. It took some sacrifice. It took some saving. It took some self-denial. And another sign of this generation is that I just deserve it. And so no more are people have the mentality of, I want to work to attain a goal on the job. I just deserve to be promoted, and I want that job. This is the time we live in, an entitlement society. I shouldn't have to work for it or earn for it or wait for it. I want it now. And what happens to debt? Our country is guilty of the same thing. We want it now. And so people go get their credit card. I want to warn y'all, you want something to affect you spiritually, get into debt. It'll affect your relationships. It'll affect your marriages. Number one cause of marital problems is debt. Money problems. You say, learn to wait. If you can't afford to pay cash for it, then wait a little bit. But why do people want it now? Because it's on sale and it's such a good deal. You know what? There's going to be a good deal next year too. Just hold on. But generation me, this sense of entitlement that I deserve it. And so now the world, the enemy has made it accessible for us to pull out the old credit card and get us deeper and deeper into debt till we're tied down. I told my boys before, you know, we're blessed. We don't have a lot. I'm just speaking personally. We don't have much, but I don't have any debt other than my house. You know, there's a sense of freedom in that. There's a sense of liberty that I'm not bound every month to what's going to happen. The Lord wants us to live within our means. And one of the reasons people aren't, and folks, saints aren't either, is because of an entitlement mentality. I want it now, and I'm not going to wait for it. Maybe it's time to downsize. Maybe I need to get rid of some of the stuff to get back down to the place that I can start working and gaining and growing. Entitlement. No more work up. Your way up the ladder, thin-skinned. Have you ever noticed we live in a society where people are just thin-skinned? They wear their feelings on their sleeve. You look at them wrong and they're offended. Well, he didn't even shake my hand. Well, Lord bless you. Thin-skinned. Because we live in a generation that does not respond well to correction. They don't respond well to correction. How many of y'all like, and we can talk about the young people and children. Let's talk about us this morning. Do you like to be adults? Do you like to be corrected? I'll tell you, you don't. You don't. It's the generation we live in. People don't respond well to correction. They'll either say, well, that's just them. That's just their opinion. People don't like to receive correction. And we're not just talking about out in the world, folks. People don't like to be corrected by the Word of God either. When things come out that you didn't handle something right, or I didn't do this right, where is it? If our heart is right, what are we going to say? I'm sorry. But if I don't like criticism, if I don't want to receive correction, I'll ignore it and go on as if it didn't happen. Selfishness. It's focused on me. It's focused on what I think, and this is the generation we live in. The generation that feels like they can't do any wrong. Example, students. I've heard this too. I don't know if you've heard it from your students. I guess you're the teachers. But I've heard, something go wrong at school or something not happen right, just like they want it on a test or paper. Guess whose fault it was? It was the teacher's fault. I've heard that before. We live in a society people don't want to take responsibility for their actions. That's a result of selfishness because surely not me. It's not my fault. And you know what that develops in people? It develops a victim mentality. I'm always the victim. People are always doing something to me. People, it's everybody else, it's everything else. Rather than looking at ourselves and saying, there are some areas that I could do differently that would help this situation. People don't do that because of selfishness. We live in a generation, and this isn't going as quickly as what I wanted. We live in a generation that doesn't want to be bored. How many of you parents have had to deal with that with your children? That's boring. You know what I'm saying? In children, I understand there are some things that aren't real fun to do. But what's the foundation of that? Do you know there are some things in life that you just have to work at and is part of the responsibility and duties of life? If we complain about it or say, well, that's boring, so I don't want to do it, that's the reason people are always looking for something a little more stimulating, something with a little more glitter, a little more pizzazz, something a little bit more, and they're never satisfied. Life is about repetition. You get up, you brush your teeth, you comb your hair, you clean the house, you go to work, and you go to school. That's boring sometimes. He said, well, what's boring about it? It's life. But if boring becomes a selfish mentality, because I want something to be exciting. I want something to be, and then we neglect the duties of life because it's boring. Folks, we need to get beyond boring this morning. We need to have some duty. We need to recognize that this is the life that God has given to us. You'll be happier when you do it. You'll be happier because of it. I don't want to paint too bleak of a picture. But do you know this is the world in which we live this morning? This is the world in which we live. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. I want to bring it down a little bit closer now. I already mentioned debt problems. Folks, relationship problems. I know, I believe one of the greatest causes of problems in relationships is selfishness. It's about me. One of the greatest causes of even children. I say, children that say they don't want to share, that's selfish, right? We say, now don't be selfish. And then they lose all their playmates and they're by themselves. Are they really happy? You find the children that are the happiest are those that learn to share, because then we can do it together and there's fellowship and there's communion. Marriage is the same way, folks. And I want to go a step further and I was going to say this, Aaron, anyway. Y'all are getting married, but I didn't know you were going to be here. Someone that is focused on themselves shouldn't be getting married. And someone, until someone has matured to the point that they can say, this is about them. This is about my future companion. They're not mature enough to get married, and there are 50-year-old men and women today that shouldn't have gotten married because they were selfish. It does not bring a happy marriage, but the greatest marriage, the blessed marriage, is going to be the one where you say, it's not about me. I devote myself, forsaking others. I'm going to do what I can to make you happy, considerate of your wishes and your desires, even if you're not. In other words, you say, well, I'll do that if they'll do it. Ah, selfish, right? That's selfish. I would tell these children, I know some of them in Sunday school now are talking about manners, you be a lady even if the boys aren't gentlemen. And you be gentlemen even if the girls aren't acting like ladies. Same way in a marriage. Same way in relationships. Even if they're not being considerate of your wishes, you still be considerate of theirs. You be the one to give. Think, what can I do to be a help to them? What can I do to be a blessing? You say, well, all they're doing is taking and taking and taking. Then you show them the way by love and sacrifice, giving of yourself. World does not revolve around me. Folks, we live in a world this morning that's hurting around us, and people don't want to be bothered. It's why the divorce rate's so high, because there's no duty involved anymore. Well, I'm not happy anymore. I don't like, the touch of your hand doesn't do what it once did. So I'll go, you understand this morning that you get beyond and give of yourself. Give of yourself. You're going to begin to find satisfaction. You're going to begin to find happiness. You're going to begin to find fulfillment. But we live in a world that's not willing to work for it anymore. And so their pursuit of happiness is in vain. Because fulfillment comes from what? It's ironic. It comes from sacrifice. It comes from giving. It comes from putting others before myself. I'm going to wrap this up. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth where moth and rust have corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasure where? In heaven. How can we lay up treasure in heaven in this society, in this generation, me, time, where men are lovers of their own self? How can we lay up for ourselves treasure in heaven? By doing for other people. It starts at home. It broadens out to family, friends, the body of Christ, and people out in the world. Give of yourself. If God blesses you, turn around and bless someone else. If God has given you talent or time or money or energy, which all of us have some of that, then let's just turn around and pass it along. But when we begin to try to, I want to get richer and I want to lay up and I'm going to get and get and get and get, you will be a miserable old person when you get old. But if you can learn the secret, like I said, the ultimate selfishness, it's different motivation. But if you really are interested in yourself, you're going to learn. Not out of a selfish motivation, but because this is what the Bible teaches and it's what's right. Learn to put others before yourself. Look not every man on his own things, Philippians 2:4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Putting others first. I believe we are in a fight this morning against this generation, the spirit of this generation. So what do we do with it? Look in your own life. He said, we don't like to say I'm selfish. But are there any areas in our life that we can do better? Just take one area. Take one. Is there some place in your life that you can say, you know what? It has been about me. And I want to stop it being about me. And I'm going to start letting it be about someone else. Giving, sacrificing, sharing with my words, the words I speak. The way I speak them, the way I conduct myself, the way I save or spend or don't spend, I want it to start giving consideration to others and the needs of other people around about me. Beautiful this morning is the one that sacrifices. Beautiful are the, happy are the people that learn. It's not in the riches of this world. That's not what brings happiness. It's about what we can do for somebody else. It's about what we can give. What we can give for the work of God. A life of giving, folks, and putting the Lord first in daily consideration. That's what fosters the joy of the Lord. You want greater joy this morning? Don't be part of this generation me. But go out and you be the difference in your home, in the congregation, at your workplace. And show people there is a way, and it comes through sacrifice and giving consideration to other people.